Welcome to episode 423 of the Entertainment 2.0 podcast, brought to you by thedigitalmediazone.com. I'm Josh Pollard.
And I'm Richard Gunther. And this is the show where we talk about Microsoft Entertainment technology, including audio, video, gaming, and more across all Windows platforms.
Richard, it is great to have you back. It was awesome having Rob last week, but at the last minute, we found out that you weren't going to be able to join us. And correct me if I'm wrong, but have you never actually been on an episode of Entertainment 2.0 with Rob H?
Well, no, I have in the past, but just like this most recent episode, he just never lets me talk.
That's not true.
No, I actually felt like I was there because y'all talked about me so much and tried to solve some of my problems. So we'll revisit that a little bit. But that was a great episode to listen to. And it's always, always informative to hear from Rob.
Yeah, I always get so much out of it. And I think our listeners do too. But we've got a new episode to record, so let's get to that. We're going to start this week with a couple pieces of feedback. This first one here was sent into our inbox at entertainment20@thedigitalmediazone.com. It is from Kenneth, and he says, "Hey, Josh and Richard, we're in the middle of another Windows Media Center guide data outage, and it's seriously time for me to consider alternatives. Can you review the comparable DVR solutions that are out there? I know there are Plex and HD Home Run products. How do they compare to Windows Media Center? Critically, can they handle encrypted cable card channels? I know you cover these products' features when there's news, but it would be great to hear a general take on where we are with alternative DVR products and what Windows Media Center users should keep in mind as they contemplate the end." Thanks, the extra emphasis added by me. Thanks and keep up the great work. So, Kenneth, we're not going to go into a full, big, huge review tonight, unfortunately.
Yeah, this could be a whole episode.
Oh, it absolutely could be. But I do want to touch on a couple of things that Kenneth asked about. And as was most critical for him, the topic of encrypted cable card channels. You have one option, my friend, one option only, other than Windows Media Center, and that is the HD Home Run DVR. That's it.
Yep.
They're Seton and Silicon Dust are the only ones that even make cable card tuners. So it makes sense that Silicon Dust would be the company that has a product that does this. It's still not like you still don't get copy protected shows across all platforms, but you do across all of the Windows stuff. So if you're already running, which you clearly are, already running a Windows based machine, then switching over to the Silicon Dust HD Home Run DVR shouldn't be a big deal at all. And I'm going to guess you probably already have their tuners. So it's really just a matter of coughing over, I think it's $30, and signing up for their DVR platform. Now, it's still not officially done. It's still not officially out of beta. So it's not perfect, but they continue to work on it and continue to release new bug fixes, new updates, new patches, new features as we go on. But it's not completely done. But if you need protected cable card channels, that's it. That's your only other option other than Windows Media Center. Plex isn't going to do it. None of these other guys are going to do it. And they probably will never do it.
I think there's one thing I want to throw in here. And that's that is all true. If you're looking for a do-it-yourself, build-it-yourself box, you can still get a TiVo, right?
Right. Like,
there's still that as an option. And TiVo still gives you the option to offload the files that you record, not the encrypted ones, but the non-encrypted ones. And it gives you the ability to stream even the encrypted content. So there are alternatives. I've even been thinking more and more about maybe switching to Dish. So
wow.
I'm wondering if this means if Media Center is not going to be a stable solution anymore, then does it make sense to just switch to a service or provider that does? For me, for the DVR, I can still get my encrypted recordings through my TiVo.
Yeah, yeah. I was only thinking of home theater PC options, but yeah, TiVo is definitely an option. That's probably about it, other than your cable provider's DVRs.
Yeah,
if you're on
much.
Cable. Yeah, if you're not on cable, you know, if you're doing over the air, there's a million different options out there. So your question warrants a much bigger conversation, much bigger than we're going to be able to get into tonight. But it's a great question, and I'm glad we were able to at least answer that one specific question for you. And just to really quick touch on Plex, especially since he mentioned it, Plex is offering a pretty nice over-the-air HD. I almost said HD home run again. Plex is offering a nice over-the-air DVR solution right now. I think it's pretty good. It's getting better with Plex. It really, really comes down to whether or not you can get along with the way they do their guide data. And frankly, Silicon Dust, it's not really that much different. Both of them, if you just want to look and see what's on this channel for the next few hours, it's not the easiest thing to do. With the HD Home Run app,
HD Home Run does it better. I mean, hands down, HD Home Run does it better.
Yes. Yeah, they absolutely do. Like, there are at least options for doing that with HD Home Run. Like, for me right now, I'm having a world of trouble with my over-the-air antenna. So there's only really a couple of channels that are really, really reliable for me right now. So I'm trying to test some of this stuff out for you guys and having trouble because I need to just get a new antenna. And with the Plex one, like, I can't just look through the guide and say, show me everything that's on Fox for the rest of the day. Can't do it. And when you're looking at their program guide, it doesn't even tell you the channel names or channel numbers when you're looking at those little movie posters. So it's a little rough. It needs more work. I would definitely say that the HD Home Run DVR is further along in this game, and they should be. They've been working on it longer, as far as we know. So those are your options. Those are some of your options right now, and hopefully soon we'll come back with a lot more thorough take on where we are right now in the DVR market.
Did we bury the lead?
I don't know.
There's another guide data outage.
Yeah. This isn't a surprise to any of our listeners, I don't think. But I didn't. Well, what I'm about to say isn't a surprise. I didn't know this because I don't use Media Center anymore. You still have a Media Center box set up, right, Richard?
I do, but I never bothered to fix the recording problem that I had because the DVR on Plex has basically addressed most of my issues since most of my channels are not encrypted.
Yeah. So that's unfortunate. I don't know if it's been fixed yet. And, you know, as we get closer and closer to the end of Windows 7's official support lifecycle, I really, really start to wonder how much longer they're going to keep this guide data going.
Oh, yeah. I would be very surprised if they keep it alive past the Windows 7 support window. I'd be very, very surprised.
Well, and one of the things that I've been saying, at least for a while, is, you know, a couple of years ago, Microsoft released in partnership with Hopog that over-the-air tuner device for the Xbox One. And the Xbox One had this big emphasis on the One guide and being able to watch live TV with it. And they were talking about DVR functionality. Then they said, nope, just kidding. We're not doing DVR anymore, or we're not planning to do DVR anymore. And the One guide functionality has really taken a backseat in terms of things that they've been working on with the Xbox One software. I don't have my tuner hooked up to my Xbox anymore because what's the point? I've got the HD Home Run app now. I don't even know for sure. Like, I think it's still there, but I haven't even checked in months. And you never had the tuner hooked up to your Xbox, did you, Richard?
I did not. I tried it, I think, for like a day, and I just, I didn't really like it.
Yeah. So if that's, it's got to still be there. I think it's still there, but if the guide data is no longer on the Xbox One, definitely look out, folks, because I would say that would be a huge sign that the end is near for Windows Media Center guy data officially. I'll have to check on that for next week, but it's not looking good, folks. I think all of you, like Kenneth, need to start looking at some other options to replace your Windows Media Center boxes.
All right. Well, while we're talking about the Media Center Death March, we also have a message from Steve, and this came in as a comment on the website. Steve notes that iOS 11 breaks the My Media Center app again. He says, someone please help. It's one of my frequently used apps. I'm not sure how I can live without it. I have bad news for you, Steve. I think it's broken everywhere. I have it on iOS and I have it on Android, and neither shows any data at all. This is not the issue where 32-bit apps weren't going to work anymore in iOS 11. The app will open on iOS 11, but there's no data there. None at all.
I just had a thought. Is there no data there because of the Media Center guide data outage? The My Media Center app isn't coming up with its own guide data. It's just reading it out of Media Center.
Dude, that makes so much sense. That is probably exactly what was going on, because I was able to see data in the application a couple of days ago. Now there's nothing there. It does show me what has recently recorded. And for me, that was like months ago, but it doesn't actually show you anything that is scheduled and any of the guide data. And that makes total sense. I hadn't even thought about that. All right. So guess what? Maybe it actually works.
Maybe. Unfortunately, we reached out to our friends and colleagues over at Seton for a comment, and I haven't heard back from them. So I unfortunately don't really have any more information to give you guys. I just hope that that is indeed what the problem was, and that hopefully guide data is working for most Windows Media Center users now. This is really a terrible time for this to happen, especially for users of the My Media Center app.
I don't know what you're talking about. Why would now, right now, why would this be a bad time for no guide data, Josh?
Because the thing that we have always talked about, Richard, with the My Media Center app is that our absolute favorite feature is that it will tell you what premieres are coming on TV. And right now is the time that all the new shows are running their premieres.
Yep. It is the fall TV season, and that's a great transition into our feature story for this episode. The fall TV season has started, and Josh, I don't know if you've done any prep for it. I was kind of caught off guard because I've been traveling so much, and normally we would have talked about this the week before all the premieres started hitting everybody's TVs, but last week we had the special episode with Rob, so we didn't talk about that. So now I'm just kind of scrambling, trying to figure out, all right, do I have recordings set up for everything, first of all, from last season to make sure that none of those kind of got deleted accidentally, or that I have them on the right DVR. In other words, I'm using the Plex DVR, like I said, for pretty much everything, but I'm using my TiVo for things that are encrypted. Then there are a couple new shows. I want to make sure that I'm recording them. And Josh, I have a confession. This is the first year where I'm actually starting to evaluate, is this a show that I want to record?
Wow.
Or is this a show that I'll just stream?
Okay. Oh, interesting. That's not where I necessarily expected this to be going. So what's the difference there?
Because a lot of times I'll record stuff and then ultimately not watch it off of my DVR because it's easier to watch it on Hulu. Because I can watch it without ads when I watch it on Hulu.
Interesting. You know, I actually had a very similar thing happen to me today. I was at work. It's actually Joe, the guy that I do Story Players with, said, hey, you know The Good Place is back, right? Yeah, I know that. It's on my Plex DVR right now. He's like, have you watched it yet? No, I haven't. I'm not doing anything else while I eat my lunch. Maybe I should go watch it. And he's like, cool, I'll come watch it with you. And So I log into my Plex server and go to watch it. And he's like, whoa, stop. Your recording says it's only 9 minutes long. And I'm like, oh, that's probably because it's on a channel that my antenna isn't pulling in very well right now.
Oh.
And he said, well, that's fine. I'm watching it on Hulu. Let me just log into Hulu and then we won't have to watch commercials either. And I'm like, oh, this is really nice.
Exactly.
Like, skipping commercials isn't that bad, but not having to deal with them at all is even better.
It's awesome. Josh, I can't tell you how many times I reach for the remote just automatically when I feel that the commercial is coming up and I realize, oh, right, I don't need it.
Huh. So what about a show like would make you choose Hulu versus recording it? Is it just whether or not it would be on Hulu, or is there something else to it?
So there are a couple things. One is whether or not it's going to be on Hulu and whether I'm likely to watch it within that 5-episode time frame that they give you to catch up.
Right.
That's the one thing. There are other shows where every episode is covered by Hulu and they just keep the entire catalog along the way. As an example, I think Modern Family works that way. So you can pretty much catch up on Modern Family anytime that you want to. So why bother recording it at all? Because I can just watch it there, and I always do watch Modern Family on Hulu. So there are a couple things that I'm just not going to bother digitally hoarding, believe it or not.
This is like a breakthrough for you, Richard. Like, I think this is a really big deal. You have so much recorded TV.
From
probably over 10 years at this point. A lot of it that you've never watched, but it's still sitting on hard drives in your house.
Right. Yep. Absolutely. So, yeah. So this is a good step for me. Now, you mentioned in the notes that, you know, maybe in addition to recording versus streaming, you may just decide to buy something that you like.
Yeah. As our listeners know, I cut the cord last year. I don't know. It was many months ago. And that hasn't really been that much of an issue because, again, I don't watch a ton of TV, but there are a few shows that I do want to see. One of them is coming up soon. In fact, I don't know when. I need to figure that out. Mr. Robot. It's on USA. Mm-hmm. I don't have cable anymore. I'm not currently paying for any of the, you know, internet streaming TV services like Hulu or Sling TV or PlayStation View or anything like that. So if I want to watch Mr. Robot, the first option that comes to mind for me is I'll just go to Amazon and buy the episodes. And that's probably what I'll end up doing because it is so easy to do. And then they just show up in the Amazon apps and they're on all of my devices. So it's super easy. And like you pointed out with Hulu, there's no commercials.
Yep. Absolutely. That's a nice alternative. And there's one more thing that has a cost associated with it that we will probably talk a little bit more about later. And that's if you need to subscribe to a service that you don't already have, because maybe that's the only way to see the show. We're going to talk about premiere calendars. Let's talk about it now. There are a number of places that you can go and look at premiere calendars. And the one from Rotten Tomatoes is one of the most comprehensive that I've ever seen. It includes premieres that are only available on some subscription streaming services.
Yeah, I was really, really, really surprised by how thorough this Rotten Tomatoes premiere calendar was, because they could have just made it network TV, and it's not. It even has Netflix originals and things like that on here, and the dates that those start.
Yeah, yeah. So there are really a whole bunch of different ways that you can get content now, I think is the bottom line here. But let's just say that there are some things that you want to record. Make sure that you take a look at what your storage looks like on your DVR solution. I have a Drobo hooked up to mine. I have already checked to make sure that I have lots of storage. My TiVo is pretty full, though. So I actually went through and deleted some stuff that I don't know why I was still recording it, and made some room for things that I want to make sure that I can actually store on my TiVo.
You know, another thing that we always like to remind people to check is there are some shows, and reality shows are the worst with this, that they'll change the name of the show from year to year. I think Amazing Race does this. I think Survivor does this every season. So if you have a series recording set up for the previous season of Survivor, it probably won't work. I don't even know if Survivor's still on. Jen used to watch it. I don't know if it's still on.
I think it starts this week.
There you go. So you might need to update your series recording for that. It depends on what you're using. I know Media Center wasn't able to figure that stuff out. I don't know if some of the newer solutions are getting smarter about this stuff, but you're definitely going to want to check those out, especially on those reality TV shows.
Yep. Same thing happened with Big Brother this year. And this is actually the first year that that's been a problem with them. So I don't know what's going on there. Speaking of setting your DVR recordings properly, if you are watching a show that appears after a football game, so what's that going to be? That's going to be Sunday night, Monday night, or Thursday night, right? There's like, aren't there three nights that you could be impacted by that now? Make sure that you add an hour. I almost want to say at least to the recording time so that it picks it up. Just this weekend, if you recorded through your DVR pre-settings the premiere of Star Trek Discovery, there's a very good chance that you missed the end of it because started 45 minutes late.
45 minutes?
Now, they updated the guide pretty quickly to reflect that it was going to be a half hour late, but it ultimately ended up being 45 minutes late. So if your guide picked up that it was going to be a half hour late, then maybe only missed the last 15 minutes instead of the last 45 minutes.
That's crazy.
Yep.
Wow. For a brand new show premiering and they totally screwed it up.
Yep. Absolutely. Ridiculous. Absolutely.
Absolutely ridiculous.
Now, another place, if you're a TiVo owner, you might want to check out TiVo's own calendars because each year they usually put out, and I say usually because I couldn't find it last year, but they usually put out a calendar with links that will automatically set up a pass for that show. And calendar now is set up. It only shows September. Presumably when we come around to October, they'll show October too. I don't know why that's not there yet, but each link will take you to the online scheduling service to set up a series recording, which is a really nice way of doing that.
Absolutely. That's cool. So, you know, one other thing that I've been thinking about as I've been setting up my new recordings and stuff is the thing that is really, really great about where we are with TV nowadays is we have so many ways to simply manage all of this. You know, if I'm doing HD Home Run, I can do this on the apps on my phone and stuff like that, as long as I'm at home. If I'm doing Plex DVR, well, Plex is on everything, including a website. I can do it from anywhere in the world to schedule these recordings and manage all of this stuff. But, you know, when just a few years ago, when we were using Windows Media Center for everything, that wasn't really doable, at least not until that My Media Center app came out. So it's a good time to be living, you know, where we are. So Richard, I don't want to spend a ton of time on this, but I do want to know, especially new shows, like brand new shows that are premiering this year, anything you're really excited about or really interested in? Because some of these may have actually already started.
Yeah, you know, I'm not overly excited about anything in particular. I mentioned previously that I started watching The Orville. I'm enjoying that. I will probably continue to watch that. I wanted to see what the Star Trek series was going to be like. I watched the premiere of that. I am not going to pay CBS's extortion fee to watch the rest of it. I won't do it. So I'll need to figure out whether I'm going to watch that, and if so, how, whether I end up buying it or I wait for it to come to some streaming service that I already subscribe to. But I'm not subscribing to CBS All Access for one show. I know the money works out, It's not about money. I'm not paying Uncle Les more money for one show. I'm not doing it.
All right. If it wouldn't require you to sign up for that service, would you keep watching it? Was it good enough to keep watching?
I would probably watch it just because I'm curious and just because it's Star Trek.
Mm.
I will say it didn't grab me. I was underwhelmed. And I think it's because, well, heck, we've been thinking about this for a year and a half now.
True. Very true. All right. Well, for me, in terms of brand new shows, the one that I am absolutely the most excited about is a new show airing on Fox called The Gifted. And this probably won't really surprise many people, especially anybody who knows what this is. It's a superhero-y show, but it's based in the X-Men universe, which that's pretty much it for me. Like, we talked a lot a few years ago about Jen and I going through all of the different Marvel superhero movies and stuff, and I was just kind of meh on most of them. Captain America was pretty cool, but the rest of them I was just eh. But I've always been such a huge fan of the X-Men, and this isn't actually the X-Men. It's a side story, but it is in the X-Men universe. The X-Men are referenced. It looks cool. It looks really cool. Monday, October 2nd is the premiere at 9 p.m. on Fox. So yeah, that's it for me.
Anything else?
That's it for new shows. I already watched The Good Place today. I'm still loving that show. Very interesting way for them to start this second season. Very interesting. I won't say anything more than that. And then, I didn't even write it down, but I should put, I can't even remember the name of it now.
This is us,
because I still haven't caught up. I'm still only like 3 or 4 episodes into season one.
Yeah. Yep. The night we're recording, it premieres tonight. That's what I'm going to be watching we're done.
You're right.
Here, yeah. I have my tissues ready.
Yeah. All right. So why don't we move on to some of our other video topics? And you weren't able to be here last week with Rob, but we talked a lot about specifically your audio return channel issues with your Onkyo receiver. And you've got a little bit of an update for us on that situation.
I do. You know, first of all, it was fascinating to learn about why we can't get Atmos through audio return channel. So that was really neat. And I want to experiment now to see if some of the streaming services like Netflix and anything else that might offer Atmos will give me the proper audio for Atmos through the audio return channel with the receiver that I have. I don't know if it'll work or not. So I want to try that out. But I will say, as far as my receiver is concerned, Rob was right. He did tell me so. However, he says that he had recommended a receiver that costs around $700. I'm thinking that the receiver he had recommended was way more expensive than that. Maybe I'm remembering incorrectly, but I seem to remember it being way more, because why wouldn't I go for a $700 solution? Because you know what? That was less than what I paid for what I bought. And what I bought was a 9.2 receiver from Onkyo. It's the Pioneer Elite series. And you may remember, and he probably didn't hear, that when I was at Cedia, I spoke with the folks at Onkyo, and they confirmed that my edition or version of that receiver, the 2016 version, will get an update at the end of this year, a firmware update that will enable both Dolby Vision and HDR10 pass-through. So this problem will be solved for me. So I have a fourth option, and that's wait. And that's what I'm going to be doing.
The cheapest option of them all.
Exactly.
That's great. All right. Well, a couple of quick newsy things in the video arena. We mentioned this year at CES that NVIDIA was showing off a brand new version of their NVIDIA Shield TV. This is it. It's basically been the top of the line 4K set-top box that you've been able to get for, gosh, The NVIDIA Shield TV has been out for over 2 years now, I think, at this point.
It's hard to believe.
I know, it's crazy. And they've released a slightly updated version one, or announced it at CES, released it shortly thereafter. Better looking controller, smaller design, but overall basically still the same device, and kept the same price. And that was $200 with 16 gigs of onboard storage, a little remote control, and an updated version of their I Want to Be an Xbox game controller. And a lot of people, like, you know, if Richard were to buy an NVIDIA Shield TV, he wouldn't care about that game controller. He's never going to play games on it. He doesn't play games on his Xbox. Why is he going to play games on his NVIDIA Shield TV? So I'm going to call this the NVIDIA Shield TV Richard Gunther Edition is now available for pre-order. You can get it without the game controller. The thing that I think kind of stinks about this is that the discount is only $20. It's $179 for just this version that only has the remote instead of the remote and the game controller. The reason I'm disappointed by that is if you buy the controller separately because maybe you want some extras, they're $50. Hmm. Why am I only saving $20? And I know the reason why I'm only saving $20, because now it's the same price as the Apple TV 4K, right?
Well, yeah, but they could have undercut that, right? I think it, just by bundling it together, they're giving you some savings. So they're not going to give you the whole $50 off there. But hey, you know, you've already said that the controller sucks anyway. So maybe they only value it at $20, even though they're charging $50 for it.
Well, the controller's not great. But if you want to play games on it, I think it's your only option. I don't think that they support pairing like an Xbox controller up to it. I could be wrong about that. I think it's your only real option if you do want to play games on it. Like, and I'm not saying it's a horrendous game controller. It's certainly usable, but it's just not as good as the gold standard being the Xbox One controller. So either way, it's cool. It's nice to see a price break. The NVIDIA Shield TV does basically everything, and it does it in 4K. It does it with HDR. And it's the device that I use as my Plex server. That's the thing that I love about it. It's my Plex server and my HD Home Run DVR server. That's how awesome and powerful this box is. So to get it for even cheaper is great. If you want just this remote edition, you can pre-order it right now for $179. It doesn't ship until October 18th. Did they announce this like as soon as they came up with the idea? Because the only thing they have to do is figure out like new packaging, right? It's not like they're building new hardware out of this thing. So I don't know. I can't think of any other reason why we have to wait another month to get our hands on this version of it when all they have to do is not include a thing that they've been including previously. But whatever.
Who knows?
There's your option. Yeah.
Who knows?
All right. Next story up. This one I really, really liked.
You kind of got a scoop here.
Yeah. So the HD Home Run app, I use it a lot for watching live TV in my house. And it is the app that I've been using primarily for my DVR, because up until I figured out my SD card issues and all of that in the Shield, the HD Home Run app was the only app smart enough to figure out how to record straight to the external hard drive. The Plex app didn't really do that correctly. So all of my recordings have been through the HD Home Run app. So I've been using this a fair amount. And recently, like just within the last few weeks, Android Oreo came out, Android 8. And the only new feature in Oreo that I care at all about is this new picture-in-picture feature. And it's, I mean, for all of our listeners, we know what picture-in-picture is. It's the ability to take a video that you're watching and shrink it down so that you can be doing other things while watching your video. And maybe that's even watching another video, but I haven't actually tried that because that's too much. I can't do that. So Silicon Dust released a new version of this app, and now it supports that feature. Like, developers do have to do things to support this picture-in-picture feature. And almost none of them have yet. Like, I have the NHL app. I watch NHL games. It doesn't support it yet. NHL is a way bigger operation than Silicon Dust, and it doesn't support it. The YouTube app doesn't even support it unless you're a YouTube Red subscriber. It's ridiculous. So the Silicon Dust app does, though. The HD Home Run app now supports picture-in-picture. Again, though, it does require Android Oreo, and that's not on a lot of phones yet. If you've got a Google Pixel or a Pixel XL, I think the Nexus 5X and the Nexus 6P got Oreo. I don't think the Galaxy phones have it yet, so there's not a ton of options, but if you've got Oreo and you're an HD Home Run user, go and check out my article to see how to do it, because it's not exactly the same way that you would normally do this picture-in-picture functionality in Android Oreo, but it's not hard. You'll get it right away, and you'll love it. It's great.
Cool. Cool. Well, each week we have to talk about Plex, right?
It kind of seems that way.
Plex came out with a news announcement. Oh, you see what I did there? This week, and that's that they're adding a news capability to the Plex apps. And this is probably already on your device. If you have a Plex app loaded on your iOS or Android mobile device, or on your Fire TV, your Roku, your Apple TV, Android TV, all of those apps have been updated to support this new news feature. I had to go looking for it. I couldn't easily find it. And I was a little bit surprised by that. But when I finally did find it in my iOS app, first thing it did, you know, I love this, auto plays video as soon as I open up the news section. So
doesn't that kind of make sense here, though?
I don't know.
To saying, I want to watch the news, so I'm going to go flip on CNN.
Yeah, it's a different paradigm for anything that they're doing right now, because they don't have anything else in Plex where you go to the section and boom, you start playing video. Mm-hmm. So in any event, the idea here is that they're bringing in news from nearly 200 different sources. And it's big names. It's CBS, it's The Street, it's CNET, it's Financial Times, Hearst, and many, many local channels. They say that they have local channel coverage for, local news outlets. So for example, if you have like News 8 in your area or things like that, they are supporting areas, they say, that get 80% of the metro areas, which is pretty good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Metro areas in the U.S.
In the U.S. Yeah, that's a really good qualifier there. Now, the way that they're presenting this essentially is that they're putting I want to call it random, but it's not really random because it's going to kind of be tailored by how you watch it. But they have different categories. You choose a category. There are different videos in those categories. And supposedly they're going to tune it over time as you're watching it based on what you watch through or what you skip through. And I also understand that they're going to give you the ability to, say, turn off a particular source. So if there's a news source that you find particularly offensive or just doesn't interest you, let's say it's news about NASCAR and Josh has just had it with NASCAR. He doesn't want to hear anything more about NASCAR. Oh, wait, no. Richard is tired of NASCAR. He doesn't want to hear anything more about NASCAR. Then he could turn it off and it wouldn't be included in these feeds anymore. That whole source would be turned off. It's kind of the way that Flipboard works. In fact, I think of this very similarly to Flipboard, but it's a video platform.
Yeah. Real quick, I feel the need to defend myself. I'm not a NASCAR fan either. I like lots of auto racing, but not NASCAR.
Not NASCAR. Okay, well, see, then if I offended you by lumping you in with the NASCAR viewers, I apologize. And if I just offended the NASCAR viewers, then let me apologize for that too. This is an equal opportunity offense tonight.
Well, you can't talk about news broadcast without offending people, right?
That's true. I mean, that's not anymore. Not anymore.
So I kind of like this. I checked this out on my Android phone today. I like how I didn't mind the autoplay. I didn't think it was that hard to find. You swipe in from the left, which is how you get to all of your different libraries. And it's like the first option, news. I tapped it.
So for what it's worth, on iOS, you swipe in from the right because, you know, why would you do that? And it's the last option.
Huh. That is,
I don't get it.
Weird. Okay. Yeah. So I was doing this in portrait mode. It stayed in portrait mode, which I was kind of surprised by because normally it just goes full screen and blammo, you've got your full screen video in the way that you're supposed to watch video. But for news, I don't need it full screen. And this way it allows you to continue to look through the giant feed of all of the different news clips you can be watching and then also switch categories. It took me a little while to figure out how to switch categories because it doesn't really show you anything. Like you'll be scrolling down. And it's like, well, when does the next category come up? And then I started to scroll back up and then a little thing popped up at the bottom of the list that said news, like a headline, like a heading. I'm like, oh, I wonder if that's it. And I tapped that. And then it showed me all the list of other categories to switch to. And I checked out sports and gaming and all of the crap that Richard doesn't care about and enjoyed some of that stuff. So I like this. You breezed through the platforms that it does support. We should point out that Windows and Xbox are not on that list yet. Also, for Plex, this is kind of important. The web isn't on there. If you frequently just use your web browser to access Plex, this feature isn't there either. So again, Android TV, Apple TV, Roku, Fire TV, and then Android and iOS. So once again, can't wait for this stuff to get on the rest of the platforms that I use, but I'm sure it'll get there.
Yeah. And I mean, just, you know, you think about all the different platforms that they support. And Josh, you and I know this firsthand. When you're trying to support software on multiple platforms, there are a lot of moving parts and you're constantly trying to keep up with the different releases and design ethos and it just the different hardware and everything that you have to worry about. So the fact that they got this out in sync across so many devices that as they did, I think is pretty impressive.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yep. All right. So let's move on to some gaming news. I promise I'm going to fly through the stuff this time. First up, I think we talked about this a couple weeks ago. There's some new Alpha Ring Insider previews on the Xbox that have another brand new version of the Xbox software, a complete overhaul again. And one of the things that they changed is how the friends section works in the guide. I'm going to call it the guide. I think they still call it the guide. When you press the Xbox button and you get the overlay. Now, when you arrow over to the friends section, it doesn't just immediately show you the list of your friends that are online. It just tells you how many are online. And then you have to click on that to see which ones are actually online. Well, now they've added another thing. There's one item that says, I have 15 friends online. And then below that, it'll say 7 of those friends are in 3 different games. I guess that means that the other 8 are not in games, like they're doing video apps and stuff like that. Not entirely sure, but that's what I would guess. So if you click the 15 friends online thing, it'll just show you all of those friends again, like you're used to seeing. But if you click the 7 friends in 3 games option, then it groups them by game. So if, you know, you've got 4 of them are in Overwatch, it'll show Overwatch. And then below that might be NHL, or maybe not, because it's probably in alphabetical order and my examples suck. and it'll group them by game. And that's kind of cool because for me, a lot of, and I use those examples because those are the ones that I'm playing the most. I'll get online and see 17 people online and I want to know, all right, who's playing hockey tonight and who's playing Overwatch? And that might determine what game I want to play. So I like that idea. I still hate that it's extra clicks now to get to the thing that I want to see the most, which is which of my friends are online right now and what are they doing? All right. So another thing that they're adding to Alpha Ring Preview right now And this one is cool. This is one that I did not expect them to do. And that is, they're bringing USB webcam support to the Xbox One, and Mixer supports it. So you don't have to have a Kinect anymore if you want to be on video while you're doing Mixer streaming. Now, the Kinect is still an amazing camera, but maybe the field of view is way bigger than what you want for your living room when you're Mixer streaming. I know when I've used my Kinect camera for doing Mixer streams, I've pulled it down off the top of my TV and repositioned it and tried to find better angles and stuff so that it's not my whole living room, because people don't want to see my whole living room. That's crazy. So now you can hook up a USB webcam. I haven't gotten to try this yet because I'm not on the Alpha Ring, but I think this is really great news and makes a lot of sense because so many people didn't want a Kinect and they haven't gone out and purchased them. Although you can get them for dirt cheap now. You can get them for like $50. Heck, I bought one on Craigslist for $10 for an Xbox One Kinect. It was awesome.
Yeah, I think this is really smart, though. I mean, the Kinect is kind of cumbersome, and particularly if you have the Xbox One S and you're dealing with that attachment to it, it's not like it's all that easy to pull it closer to you or something if you want to do that while you're playing. So the idea that you can just use a USB camera here, I think it's really smart. I think it addresses both problems. The problem where your Kinect is already kind of in a fixed position, and maybe you, like you said, you don't want to show the whole living room, and the other one where you just never wanted to spend the money on one.
Right, exactly. Now, one other quick important note here. A lot of webcams have microphones built into them. The Kinect has a microphone built into it. If you want to stream Mixer with your Kinect, you can use the Kinect for video and audio. That's not the case with USB webcams, though. And it's, they say the reason is because many USB webcams don't have echo cancellation and things like that. They don't have great audio, typically. They're web cameras, not microphones, typically. So
yeah,
you're only going to have video from these webcams. You're going to have to use a headset or some other microphone solution if you're also doing audio on your Mixer stream, which you probably should be if you actually want viewers. So there you go. And then our usual things to hit on, deals with gold this week in Spotlight sale. There's a whole bunch of Call of Duty games on sale, but it's Call of Duty, so they're never like drastically on sale. Mafia 3, big, huge game. Well, good game that reviewed really well that came out last fall. It's down to $24. It's a long game. Like, if you're looking for a long game to really enjoy and sink your teeth into, Mafia 3, from what I understand, great option for you there with a really good story too. If you're looking for a fun, quirky shooter to play with the whole family, Plants vs. Zombies Garden Warfare 2 is on sale. I didn't write the price down. I think it's like $8. It's super cheap.
Get it.
Yep. And then here's an important one, or one that is important to me, Mass Effect Andromeda. It is down to $20. That game came out in March, I think. It is down to $20. You should buy it, not just because it's a fun game, but because if you're not playing it yet, you should be, and then you should be listening to the Story Players podcast, because we're playing through Mass Effect Andromeda right now, and you'll be able to catch up with us in no time as we play along too. So go and grab Mass Effect Andromeda for $20. Quick hits on the games with gold. We're nearing the end of September, but as of this recording, Microsoft still has not announced the October Games with Gold. I bet they do it tomorrow. So for September, you've got a couple more days to grab Forza Motorsport 5 on Xbox One. You can still get Oxenfree until the middle of October. And then on the Xbox 360 side, you've only got a couple days left to grab Battlefield 3. All of these are free if you have Games with Gold. All of them will play on an Xbox One, including Battlefield, even though it's an Xbox 360 game. It is backwards compatible.
So, you know, it's kind of weird. I went to download these because that's what I do. And when I went to download Oxenfree, first of all, for all of them, I just did it from my web browser. I figure, okay, I'll just go into my Live account and download them from the stores. That usually works fine. For whatever reason, Oxenfree, even though it said it's available free to gold to Live Gold or Gold Live subscribers, whatever it is. Man, that's embarrassing that I still get that wrong. Then when I actually clicked buy, then it comes up with a little confirmation and says, okay, $19.99 to your PayPal account. What?
That's weird.
Every other time when it confirms the price, it says zero. So on the confirmation screen saying $20, I wasn't going to click that. So I want to see what it's like if I just trying to get it off of the console. But I thought that was probably just some weird bug in their store.
Yeah, that's weird. I liked Oxenfree. Not sure I would pay $20 for it. And you definitely aren't going to pay $20 for it.
Yeah, no.
Because you'll never play it. Although, this is a game you could play. It's not like there's a bunch of Twitch action stuff and it's not hard like Ori and the Blind Forest. You should check it out.
Glad I picked an easy one to, get back into gaming with.
All right. Well, we know that you're not playing many games, but you are watching lots of stuff in your entertainment center. What have you got going on, Richard?
So some of the usual stuff, Firefly, Jessica Jones. I have 2 episodes left of Jessica Jones. It is so good. I am really, really enjoying that. Episodes is about halfway through their season. The Orville, I'm continuing to watch. I know that the critics are kind of tearing this apart because they say it's kind of schizophrenic. It can't find itself. Is it sci-fi? Is it drama? Is it comedy? Well, just deal with it. It's all of the above and it's entertaining. So I'm enjoying it. Big Brother is over and both options to win the show were jerks. So I kind of agree that the lesser jerk won, whatever. I'm very frustrated that people who were actually smart about playing the game, who knew what was going on and could see through the people who were manipulating, ended up getting shoved out. And the people that were eligible to win were, I think, just playing dirty, but whatever. Mm-hmm. All right. Star Trek Discovery. I said that I watched it. I mentioned that it was so much hype. Maybe it didn't live up to the hype. I don't think it lived up to the premiere quality of just the other series that I've watched. Like, I compared this to the premiere of Enterprise, which is the most recent show, so it should probably be the tightest of any of the premieres of the Star Trek series. And I don't think it was as tight as that. I don't think it's as well acted. I don't think that the script is as good. The dialogue is as good. And frankly, from an effects and production standpoint, I feel like it's overproduced for being a TV show designed to be played on a streaming device. I'm very disappointed. So I if it's available in a way that I don't have to pay much for it and I don't have to get into All Access, I'll probably watch more of it, but it did not grab me. I'm not dying to watch this like I was Enterprise. I finally got into Broadchurch Season 3. We had not started that yet, and I finally started watching that as I was traveling. I had some time on the plane. Curiously, I have 2 episodes left of that, 2 episodes left of Jessica Jones. The main actor is the same. Well, not the main actor, but one of the main actors is the same in both of those. In one, he's a bad guy. In the other, he's a good guy. It's really interesting watching those two parallel to each other. So,
and he does both of them well?
Oh, he does both of them incredibly well.
That's great.
Yeah, yeah. So I really, really like the actor. I'm embarrassed that I can't remember his name now because my brain is fried today. I did watch the season premiere of Big Bang Theory this week, and Young Sheldon was immediately after that. I had no intention of watching Young Sheldon, but smartly, they played it right after Big Bang Theory so that you just kind of get drawn right in. And it was really entertaining. I might end up watching that because I'm already invested in the character and I'm curious how much of what we know about the character now they go into explaining, like they tie back. It would be interesting to see that. Last weekend, we watched Alien Covenant. That was a mistake. No, I mean, the whole movie was a mistake. They just shouldn't have made the movie.
Terrible. I saw some of your tweets about that.
terrible, terrible, terrible movie. And they leave it open for another one. Please, I am begging you, Fox, please do not make another one. And then I'm excited because This Is Us starts, and I'm going to be watching that in a little bit. So, you know, we're deep in it. It's premiere season, and I'm caught up on podcasts.
Wow. Wow. Despite traveling, that's great.
Yep. I had lots of plane time.
So that's good, because next week I might have at least one more for you to check out.
All right.
But it's a brand new show. I want to give it one more episode before I recommend it. It's not Story Players, guys. It's something else. This is not one produced by me or the DMZ. So we'll see, because I don't like recommending things if they're not really good. So, and makes with sense. Podcast, right. You never know.
Yep. Yep. So what are you watching? What are you doing in your entertainment center?
Well, no surprise, a fair amount of gaming. NHL 18's been out for a little over a week, so I've played about 900 hours of that. No, not quite. I would love to, but no, lots of NHL 18, a little bit of Overwatch because they released a new map on Overwatch, plus they had a free weekend last weekend, so convinced a friend to check it out, and he ended up buying it because it was also on sale, because Blizzard knows everything to do when it comes to making and selling games. So that worked, and still loving that. And then of course, still playing through Mass Effect. I'm right near the end of this game. I know if you're listening to the podcast, you're like, no, you're not. You're only three episodes in. Sorry, guys. That's the secret of podcasting. We record some of the stuff ahead of time. So I'm almost done with Mass Effect Andromeda. I'm still liking this game a lot, guys. You really should check this out, not just for Story Players. It's a fun game. If you liked the previous three Mass Effects, I think you will like this. It's not as good as the other ones, but it's still good. It's still absolutely worth playing, especially for $20. And then on the hardware side, I mentioned last week that I bought a micro SD card to shove into my NVIDIA Shield TV to see if that would fix the issues that I have with my Plex server running on that box and not really being able to handle the live and recorded TV stuff all that well. And I think it fixed it. I was able to watch a little bit of live TV without any issues. And when I set it to record channels that I actually get pretty well, it seems to do that just fine. So I am actually getting Plex DVR recordings on my NVIDIA Shield TV now. So just a quick update. Like if you want to do this whole NVIDIA Shield TV DVR thing, yes, obviously hook up a giant external hard drive to it via USB, but there are limitations as to what Android TV can do in terms of permissions and what devices it can write to and all that. Buy yourself. I got a 64 gig micro SD card, you know, get a class 10 or whatever, get one of the fast ones. I think it was $20 on Amazon. Shove it into your NVIDIA Shield TV and format it as internal storage, and you're good to go. And you'll never be able to remove it because now it is one with your NVIDIA Shield TV when you say format this as internal storage. You're not going to be able to plug it in your phone or your tablet for a weekend away. Consider it part of your NVIDIA Shield TV at that point. But it'll be well worth it because things will work so much smoother. You won't be getting any more on-screen pop-ups about your device running out of storage space and all of that when you're thinking, what are you talking about? I have a 4 terabyte drive hooked up to you. I know you're not low on space. Yeah, it's because your internal space is low. Get yourself a micro SD card and solve all of those problems.
Good solution. I'm glad that's resolved.
Yeah. So a few more announcements. Richard, maybe our listeners don't realize this, but you and I live many, many, many hours apart. So we don't get to see each other face to face all that often.
Right.
But this weekend we do. And maybe some of our listeners live hours and hours and hours away from us, but they also could get a chance to see us face to face this weekend in Indianapolis. It's the meetup formerly known as the Home Server Show meetup. We are both going to be there. Dave McCabe, the host, is calling this the last meetup ever. So guys, if you've never been to one, this is your last opportunity. And it's a lot of fun hanging out with all of those people. It is so much fun. It is a great crowd. Everybody is so nice. So get on down. to Indianapolis. It's only $20 to register for this thing. Come and have a blast. There's dinner and stuff on Friday, and then the actual event is all day Saturday with dinner and a trip to the Microsoft store to follow and stuff like that. So it's a lot of fun, and hopefully we'll see you there. And if you're a listener of the show and you come say hi to us. We'll look familiar to you, but you won't look familiar to us. We're not going to know that you're a listener. So come introduce yourself to us. We love meeting listeners when we get to go out to things like this. So come to Indianapolis this weekend for that. And then, Richard, you've got another event you're doing soon.
I do. So I am actually going to a client meeting on Monday via Indianapolis over the weekend. I'm leaving from there for California. And then I'm back for less than a week, and I'm on my way out to Seattle for the Smart Kitchen Summit. I'm so looking forward to this. This is going to be a lot of fun. I've been talking with a bunch of people that are going, and we're starting to prep for our panels now this week. So I highly recommend this if you're at all interested in the Smart Kitchen movement and you're in that area. We have a discount code that you can use for 25% off the price of tickets. It's just HomeOn, HomeOn. Use that as the discount code when you buy your tickets online at smartkitchensummit.com.
And last announcement, I mentioned this last week. In just a few weeks, on October 15th, I'm going to be running in the Pittsburgh Penguins 6.6K race in Pittsburgh. It's to raise money for cancer research through the Mario Lemieux Foundation. If you would like to donate to that cause as I'm going to run this, I would really appreciate that. There will be a link to that in the show notes. I've already gotten a bunch of really generous donations. If you were one of them, thank you so much for doing that. And thank you to everybody else for all of the support they've given me through all of this entire ordeal. So check that out too. And then that's it for our announcements. Let's let people know how they can get a hold of us, Richard. We're on Twitter. Richard is at Richard Gunther. I'm at Josh Pollard. And the website is at DigiMediaZone, D-I-G-I MediaZone. We're also on Facebook, where you can like us at facebook.com/the DMZ. And then, of course, we've got some other podcasts for you guys to be listening to. Just today, I listened to my favorite podcast. It's called Home On. Richard does it. I listened to it this morning. Richard, what's the new episode about?
I do that. I do that show. And, you know, I finally got my interviews out from Cedia. And I have to say, I am so excited about this. We had an interview from Nest. We've never been able to get the time of day from Nest. And we had a practically 12-minute long interview from Nest talking about their whole mindset behind creating the Nest Thermostat E. We also talked with a couple other vendors. It was a great event. I had a good time. Sorry it took so long to get the interviews out, but I think you'll enjoy them. There was lots of great stuff there. And, you know, I don't know what's next. We have a couple really good options coming up, and we are really tight on Smart Kitchen Summit. So the next episode may actually be audio from the Smart Kitchen Summit sessions.
All right. Well, it was a great episode getting all of that CDA coverage. And then, of course, the other show here at the DMZ is my other show, Story Players, where we play through story-driven video games and then recap them and talk about our experiences with them. You can still grab the Life is Strange Before the Storm episode, but we are continuing to work our way through Mass Effect Andromeda. Those are hitting weekly. The next non-Mass Effect Andromeda episode is coming really, really soon. I'm not going to give a date because it might be tough to get it out when I want it to be out, but it's going to be really, really soon, and I think you're going to like it. We're playing another really new game, so I think you'll want to check this out when that comes out very shortly after this episode comes out, I think. And then come back and listen to this show live, but don't just listen. Participate in this show live, because we record this live on Tuesday nights at 8:30 p.m. Eastern, and there's a live video stream and audio, of course, plus a chat room. So you can be talking with us while we record the show. We can get your feedback and your input while we're recording it and share it with everybody else. It's a ton of fun for us and for you, and it's really easy to do through Mixer. So follow our tweets to know for sure, because it's not always Tuesdays at 8:30 p.m., but that's when it typically is. But that's going to do it for episode 423. He's Richard Gunther, and I'm Josh Pollard. Thank you for listening to Entertainment 2.0. Adios.
Goodbye.